Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Master Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 27th of August, 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. Tonight, 99 consecutive days of no new confirmed cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. And also, it's polling day in the Douglas South by-election. What's the Church of England going to sell to balance the books on the island? Manx students will save on international air travel to university. Details of the fire at the Douglas Snooker Club and what is going on at Jerby Race Circuit.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the update news headlines at 29 minutes to 6. Faster Mai, Dolan Mercer.
Faster Mai, an investigation's been launched into the loss of internet suffered by up to 7,000 Manx homes and businesses over the last 2 days. The issue was resolved by Manx Telecom last night, but the incident's now being looked at by the Communications Commission. It's under investigation as there are a number of provisions within Manx Telecom's licence designed to safeguard the network. The watchdog will determine if there's been any breach of regulations with the recent outage. Voters are heading to the polls in Douglas South today to elect two new members of the House of Keys. Polls are open until 8 o'clock this evening. Victims of sexual abuse carry a lifelong sentence, according to one of the people behind a planned protest. A demonstration will be held outside Douglas Courthouse at midday tomorrow. And the Isle of Man's one day away from reaching the landmark 100 days free of any known active cases of COVID-19. Further afield, the UK government's removed the Czech Republic, Jamaica and Switzerland from its safe travel list. Anyone returning from those countries from 4 o'clock on Saturday morning will have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. A huge manhunt's underway after three young boys were abducted at knife point from a foster home by their father. The brothers were taken from the garden of a property in Coulsdon in South London last Thursday. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Dolan. By the way, there's fog on the mountain. If you're driving or heading that way, lights on, fog on the mountain. The message from the Matrix signals. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish sea weather indicates strong winds for the next 12 hours on the island tonight. Wet this evening and overnight, strong wind coming in from the northeast with down to 10 degrees. Just 10 degrees. It's bank holiday weekend. For Bank Holiday Friday, Jehenia tomorrow, rain first thing. It will dry up and brighten up through the afternoon on a fresh to strong north-northeasterly. Daytime maximum 16 degrees. The overnight minimum is 11. Jasan, dry with sunny spells, moderate to fresh northerly, and 15 degrees top temperature. High waters at 7:25 tonight, sunset 8:20. Low water at 2:15 a.m, sunrise 6:20 tomorrow morning, and the morning high water at 8:03.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674-573.
Tomorrow, the people of Douglas South will be represented by two brand new MHKs, at least for the next 12 months. The by-election's been underway in the constituency today, with voters heading to the ballot box since polls opened at 8 o'clock this morning. Alex Watton spoke to Ewan Gorn, who'll be reporting live from the count this evening.
Polls close at 8 o'clock tonight, with a few hours still left for those in the constituency to cast votes. 10 candidates are standing altogether. They are Anthony Allen, Pamela Burney Malarkey, Claire Christian, Ian James Clanton, David Fowler, Andrew Jessop of the Isle of Man Green Party, Michael Joseph of Liberal Vannon, Kevin Elephant Smith, Lon Pinkerton, and Paul Quine. The result should be declared tonight by the returning officer, who's James Quinn of Quinn Legal, anywhere between 9:30 and 10 this evening. Manx Radio will be there to broadcast the announcement live after the count at Skolvallagiild and get the reaction of winners.
Well, why was this by-election called?
Both seats were left vacant following the passing of Bill Mullarkey in February and the resignation of Kate Kestane last month. A by-election for one seat had been due in March after Mr. Mullarkey's death, but along with local authority elections, it was postponed due to the outbreak of coronavirus. It's the first time since 1867 that two seats have been available in the House of Keys through a by-election.
Well, what was the turnout like the last time an election was held in the constituency?
At the 2016 House of Keys general election, more than 1,800 people came out to vote in Douglas South. That represents a turnout of 40%. There are 4,759 registered voters for this election, which is 263 more than in 2016. A reminder then that Manx Radio will be broadcasting the declaration of the result live at an estimated time of around 9:30, but that is subject to change.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening. Thanks for joining Manx Radio tonight. It's 24 minutes to six. Manx students travelling to the UK or further afield for university this year will be able to get cheaper airline tickets. It's part of the Manx government and Loganair's efforts to ease costs for Manx students. Routes include Liverpool, Manchester and London City, as well as Dublin and Belfast. The Minister for Education, Dr. Alex Allenson.
We know that certain areas in the UK have gone into lockdown, so what we've done is worked with the airlines to arrange discounted fares, also special compensation in terms of their baggage allowance as well. And we've also worked with local courier firms to provide different facilities for people to arrive at universities. Obviously, some parents want to take their children over there. It is a rites of passage to take your child to university for the first time. We know that that's going to be difficult this year because of the border restrictions. And so anyone returning to the island at the moment will still have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. But we're also working with universities. For instance, we've opened up conversations with Lancaster University so that if we have a whole range of students arriving on the same ferry, we can get them collected and taken to their halls of residence together. And I think now is the time for Isle of Man students to contact each other, to make some travel plans, to support each other in what is quite a difficult time.
Who's paying for these fares? Is government subsidising or has Loganair agreed to these fixed prices?
We've talked to Loganair about the offers that they normally provide for Scottish students, who obviously also sometimes have to travel quite long distances to get to university. So the discounted fares that Loganair are offering are not at the taxpayers' expense. There are special discounts that they're offering now to Isle of Man students as well. And hopefully that will make it far more affordable and easier for students to get to Liverpool, Manchester or directly into central London.
How long will these fares be available for Manx students?
We've negotiated this with Loganair certainly up until the end of the year. People can either book one-way tickets or return tickets. And one of the other things that's being offered is flexibility on those return fares. So I'm hoping now we can move forward. Once the situation stabilises in the United Kingdom, hopefully we can get some more long-term offers for students to make sure that they can get back to university as easily as possible.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
22 minutes to 6, the Ben McCree left Heysham at 9 minutes past 2. Arriving any moment now in Douglas Bay and docking onto the Linkspan. She'll be departing at 7:45 this evening, arriving in Heysham at 11:30, and then back at 02:15, arriving at 6 o'clock. It's a Friday morning, which means in addition to the Ben McCree's 8:45 departure for Heysham, will be the Firescraft Manannan's 7:30 departure for Liverpool.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
A demonstration will take place outside Douglas Courthouse tomorrow, Bank Holiday Friday, to call for harsher sentences for convicted paedophiles and child sex offenders. The details from Dolan Mercer.
Organisers have been in contact with police to let them know about the protest, which starts at midday. Adequate resources set aside for protection of victims, as well as prevention measures, are also being called for. One of the organisers, Devon Watson, says the views of protesters are split over the idea of a public register of offenders, or Sarah's Law.
I think there's division within the movement, but generally what we have to do is you have to prioritise what are the issues of victims. And we look to Sarah's Law. If someone is a perpetrator, there have to be mechanisms, and maybe even expansions upon that, to say that if you're the sort of person who's dangerous, you should be kept away from. I mean, when you go out swimming in certain countries, there are signs saying that there are sharks around. If you go driving along a dangerous cliff, there are places to say, okay, rocks could fall here. If you're going to be interacting with kids, you should know this person could be a person who's going to put your kids in danger. I mean, I think giving people adequate information is good, and you probably aren't going to be ending up on a dangerous list if you yourself haven't put yourself in that list, in that position in the very first place.
But surely it runs the risk of extrajudicial activity and people taking the law into their own hands if they feel threatened.
It definitely does. But the fact is the only way to prevent extrajudicial activity is for the state to appropriately punish people in the very first place.
Devon Watson there. There's legislation passing through Tymwald as we speak, the Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Bill, which is set to make more progress through the branches after the summer recess. I asked Christine Urquhart if some of these issues are going to be addressed in those new laws.
I would like to think so. I think by improving the sentencing of the accused will help empower the victims, and obviously will put these people, give them the appropriate sentences that they deserve, and be used as a deterrent to stop anyone harming any other children.
Have you had any discussions with any politicians about that progress and about some of the causes here?
I have spoken to a few politicians. I won't name them. Everybody's pretty much trying to sing from the same song sheet.
So they're receptive?
They are receptive. They do want to see improvements. It's just a matter, hopefully, that paper goes through in October. It's agreed. And by early 2021, that will be passed.
Manx Radio will be attending that protest from midday tomorrow.
Manx Radio's business briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
The Fanodery Gin Distillery hopes to make Manx single malt whiskey. It's appointed Burl Figgins Jr. as its new master distiller, who will oversee the distillery's spirit production and development. Rusty Figgins is a former graduate of the London Institute of Brewing and Distilling and helped to launch the first distillery in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State to produce rye and malt whiskies. The usually plush autumn television schedules are likely to look a little threadbare this year as Netflix outbids UK broadcasters for a limited supply of new shows. The pandemic's halting filming schedules, it means Netflix is looking to buy up completed programmes globally, while in the UK, a collapse in ad revenues for commercial channels means the broadcasters, including ITV and Channel 4, just can't match the Netflix dollar. This puts added pressure on broadcasters already battling the shift in consumer habits towards content on demand. Netflix is spending $8 billion on content this year. That equates to 700 new series and 80 films. By comparison, the broadcast world is lightweight, and Netflix itself is relatively small fry in the new media world. Its revenues last year were around $12 billion. Compare that with the other new faces: Facebook, $41 billion, Amazon, $178 billion, and Apple, $229 billion. Sky is dwarfed at $13 billion, and the BBC spends $8 billion, $220 million of which is on drama, which is why you see so many BBC co-productions. For example, Night Manager cost £20 million, and the BBC put in just $6
million. KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets traded negative as investors focused on the speech by the Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The dollar gained following confirmation that the US Central Bank will roll out an aggressive new strategy. Oil fell as a massive hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico made landfall in the heart of the US oil industry, forcing rigs and refineries to close. Gold fell as investors reassessed their positions. In corporate news, WPP was sitting at the top of the index despite saying it plunged to a £2.6 billion first half loss. Ocado was also higher after it announced that Duncan Tatton Brown had decided to step down as chief financial officer. On the downside, Rolls-Royce was sharply lower after the aircraft engine maker said it was selling its Spanish business as it sought to raise £2 billion after reporting a big interim loss. And the numbers at the close in London at 5 o'clock. The FTSE 100 was down 0.75% at 5,999. The DAX in Frankfurt down a little less, 0.7% at 13,096. At 5 o'clock in New York City, The Dow Jones Industrial was up almost a percent at 28,607. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up half a percent at 11,723. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.6% at 3,500. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 32.2 cents and €1 11.8 cents. And in commodities, gold down 1.3% at $1,926 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 1.2% at $45.23.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
The Church of England on the Isle of Man is looking at selling church buildings to remain financially solvent. A review is taking place currently around the island to determine which bricks and mortar, sacred and secular, can go. The Lord Bishop Peter Eagles explains some of the other things which will be taken into account during the process.
How, for example, can a building bring in what I would call social capital, which is a significant part of it? You know, that is where a building has a part to play in the social and daily life of a community. And that may be through partnering with other organisations. It may be with hosting events that happen in the life of a community. All of that social capital. So it's not just about worship. It's about being. It's about being there as the people of God in that place. And we're now going to have to look at which of our buildings in those areas are the ones that we would want to see, for example, as being essential, and perhaps call those hub churches where you've got a population. We've gone for a figure of 6,000 people as the number where in a parish you would have a full-time stipendiary priest, or whether some of them might be heritage churches, whether they might be better used some of the time for community events, but not necessarily for a regular service every Sunday.
Your dual role, if you like, if I can go to your Tynwald membership, you've seen from the post office debates, for example, how difficult it is to sustain a business, but also balance it with that social factor. It's going to be an emotive time because there are burial grounds, for example, aren't there, where people have very strong emotional ties to a particular church building.
That's right. The burial ground aspect is really important, and that will be properly honoured. You know, that's not necessarily to say that a burial ground and a hub church will always go together. They may not. They may have different places in the community, but they will be rightly honoured. But that's a really important point. And I think, you know, the idea of the burial ground illustrates that concept of the parish church, where everyone has a connection to this particular place. Everyone who lives in it, their church is there for them. They are part of that parish.
Manx Radio Sport.
12 minutes to 6. Faster Mai, Alex Wharton.
Faster Mai. The Isle of Man Youth Sailing Championships get underway this weekend. Races will be taking place in Port St Mary, set to start at 2:30 on Saturday and 10:30 on Sunday morning. It's open to members of yacht clubs affiliated with the Royal Yachting Association with a Stage 3 or 4 certificate. Those aged 19 and under can enter on Saturday's competition, and participants are asked to meet at the Isle of Man Yacht Club to register. Island walkers are being called upon to take on a coast-to-coast challenge this bank holiday weekend. Walking.im is behind the event, which starts at the shores of Kirkmichael and ends on Laxey Beach tomorrow. The 12-mile route takes participants via the Isle of Man's highest peak of Snae Fell. And to find out more or to book a spot, you can head to walking.im. And a Manxman is set to run 98 miles in 24 hours to raise more than £2,000 for a charity close to his heart. Harry Wetherill is tackling the Radnor Follian tomorrow for Animals in Distress Rescue, which supports those struggling to care for their pets and helps to rehome animals. Wetherill will be supported along the way by some of the island's top athletes, including local marathon man Christian Varley. He's due to start the challenge at 4 a.m. from Ramsey.
Whatever happens, you know, it's going to be a brilliant day out doing something that I absolutely love doing. You know, that's how I've got to treat it. And advice that Oren gave me as well, you know, I think after around about 40, 50 miles, that's when pain's going to start setting in. But it's going to be after that when I think the mental battle is going to come into it. And I have to remember why I'm doing it.
Further afield, Manchester United midfielder Paul Pogba has tested positive for coronavirus. As a result, he's been left out of the France squad for their upcoming Nations League games with Sweden and Croatia. The Premier League's record appearance holder Gareth Barry has retired from football. He played for Aston Villa, Manchester City, Everton and West Brom during his career. Barry was also capped 53 times by England.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Two departures from Ronald's Way, two arrivals, the 4:30 to London City. He went away just 7 minutes late and back this evening at 8 o'clock. The 10 to 5 to Liverpool, went 9 minutes early, back at 20 to 7 this evening. On the roads, King Edward Road in Gradle's got 2A traffic signals for railway works and 2A traffic signals on Arbury Road in Castletown for the demolition of a stone wall. Look out also, Clackvane East and Plot 33 Kinnish Terrace is closed for highway resurfacing in Ballasalla, and Market Street in Peel's closed for vehicles and pedestrians for demolition and reconstruction. If you're walking a public right-of-way between Ballasalla and Grenaby and Maloo, the public right-of-way number 423 closed to pedestrians between Grenaby Road and Ballamotha Road at the Silverburn Bridge. And the Finch Road, bearing in mind all the carnage there's been in for travel in Douglas today, everything got gridlocked. Finch Road's one-way system continues to be reversed. It was due to finish at the end of this month. It'll now go on till the 14th of December. And, of course, Lock Harris Central and Queen's Promenades one-way northbound with associated waiting and turning restrictions till the 14th of December. All the details at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Police have confirmed a fire at Douglas Snooker Bar, which occurred in the early hours of this morning, is being treated as suspicious arson. More from Alex Watton.
In the early hours of this morning, the Isle of Man Constabulary posted on social media that Ballaquail Road in Douglas was closed due to a structure fire. Due to emergency services on the scene, they closed the road at the junction of Palatine Road and Lower Dukes Road. Later in the morning, once the fire was extinguished, news came in that it was being treated as a suspected arson attack. I went down to the club to take a look.
All emergency service presence is pretty invisible aside from one small Isle of Man fire van. Nobody's allowed on the land at the moment as it is obviously private. And from the front of the building, there's no visible damage to actually see. You can see some kind of what looks to be charring on the side of the building, but as I say, can't get much closer at the moment because there is an ongoing investigation. There are some concerns this could be linked to an earlier suspected break-in in the week, although that hasn't been confirmed. And investigations are ongoing, so anything more, we wait to find out.
Meanwhile, police have said that any possible connections between the alleged break-in and the fire will be considered and thoroughly looked into as part of both investigations. A spokesperson for the bar says the damage doesn't seem to be too extensive and they hope to be reopening very soon.
Earlier this week, the Andreas Racing Association issued a statement expressing dismay and disappointment on losing out to former committee members for the contract to manage the Derby race circuit. We have plenty of comment on the man in line on Manx Radio, and Tim Glover put some of the points raised to Secretary Linda Alton Heath and asked, when will the bickering stop and the racing start?
So we totally concentrate on racing. As you said, I've literally just been sorting our 30 bales out for racing
weekend.
Tomorrow. So racing is the forefront of what we do. So that comes first in everything. I am representing Andreas Racing Association in a court case at the moment, and that's what I presume your listeners asked about, the bickering. It's very separate to the tender process. It's regard to, as Neil mentioned, the resignation of the directors and the how the limited company was run prior to that resignation.
And who owns it?
No, not Andrew's Racing as such. So the ownership is of a company called JMML, and that's a wholly owned subsidiary of Andrew's Racing Association. And yeah, the court case is regarding the ownership and directorship of JMML.
And the other question we've got is, why is Nathan Harrison banned?
Nathan Harrison isn't actually banned from Andrew's Racing Association. I'm not comfortable talking about the Nathan situation because that is something that's between us and Nathan. It's not something we can really chat about.
But he wants to go racing and he hasn't got many options at the moment apart from on his home track.
He can ride away. There's, as I say, Cameron's riding away at the moment. The Nathan situation has nothing to do with the tender and nothing to do with the court case with his father. It's something completely different. It's something that Andrew's Racing Association have spent a lot of hours speaking to the ACU, the local officials, and our membership. It's not solely our decision.
When are you expecting the court case to come along, and when are we going to get everything resolved and start looking forward?
Perfect timing. So as of 2 minutes ago, before I arrived here, I dropped off our court papers to the advocates for the other party, and I dropped off to the court our items for our defence. We have 120 pieces of evidence that we're supplying to the courts, and our court case is, I'm going to say, 25th and 26th of January next year as our actual court date. And that's now in ordinary procedure with the Deanster.
The story goes on at Andreas Racing Association and Jerby Circuit. That's it for Update. Stand by for Shaclair with Marilyn Crellin, George Ferguson with Greatest Hits and the result of the Douglas South by-election. That's it for Update. Back in September next Tuesday, the 1st. Have a great weekend.